for the next couple of weeks, I want to talk about the difference between religion and salvation. Religion and salvation. And when you open it up, you'll see the dictionary defines religion as share at least some commonalities, such as a common historical heritage, some shared doctrines or practices. That's how the dictionary defines religion. The scriptures define religion in James chapter number 1, 26 through 27. The scripture is right there. You see, it says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is what?
Vain.
It's vain, or it's useless. Then he goes on to define what religion is. He says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. What is the first one? To visit the fatherless, the widows in their affliction. That's right. That's how the book of James defines religion. That's why if you look on the front of your bulletin, that's why we have that there. Where it says, you see up under the religion, you see the widows. You see a picture of what it looks like to be separate or sanctified. You see those that are fatherless or those that are also orphans. That's what you would call religion. Being diligent in helping those that are basically in need. Now, that's not salvation. Religion is not salvation. I know you may have heard a song they used to sing years ago. You got good religion. Certainly, Lord. Got good religion. Sounds good, but that's not salvation. That's not salvation. Jesus didn't come to the earth to bring religion. He came to the earth to bring salvation. Now, according to the scriptures, if you look at the scripture there in your bulletin from Acts and the book of Galatians, it'll give you an example of how you can have religion without salvation. Now, this is Paul speaking. Paul testifying of his own life in Acts and also in the book of Galatians. And you can see he was very diligent in practicing good works. But what was he missing? He was missing salvation. Let's look at Acts 26, 4 through 5. What does it say? My man of life from my youth.
Which was at the first among my own nation. Yep. At Jerusalem.
Yep.
Know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I led the Pharisees.
Right, you see that? This was his religious practices, his religious beliefs, his doctrine that was instilled in him from when? From his youth. And he lived up to that. He lived up to that. If he goes through, and in the book of Galatians, he gives you basically an overview of his life, like a resume of his life. He talks about it in Acts, but in Galatians, he gets real detailed. Galatians 1, 11 through 16.
But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man.
That's right. Now, this is what makes Paul, just so you all know, this is what made Paul or validated him being an apostle. We do not have apostles today. I know everybody has those titles and calling themselves that. But according to the scriptures are very clear in outlining what the requirements were for a person being an apostle. They had to be an eyewitness of the resurrected body of Jesus. They had to be with him from the beginning of his teachings until the end. They had to physically be able to see Jesus rise from the dead. They had to be a witness of his resurrection, as well as his ascended body. Now, the difference between why Paul is so important because Paul explains in Corinthians all of the people that actually saw the resurrected body of Jesus. He did that in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. He goes through and breaks that down. But then he says something very important. He said he was last seen of me. Paul says that. In other words, Paul says, I was the last one to see the resurrected body of Jesus. And Jesus dealt or spoke with Paul physically over the course of a period of time, telling him about the things concerning his church. How do we know this? Because Paul was not a participant in the Passover feast. Paul was not there in the Passover feast when the Lord instituted communion. Jesus broke bread and gave them wine and told them to eat the bread and drink all of the cup. He said, this, you're going to do this in remembrance of me. Paul was not there. Yet in Corinthians, Paul talks about that doctrine or that teaching. He got very detailed. He said the same night in which the Lord was betrayed, he took bread and broke it and gave them the wine from the cup and told them to drink ye all of. This represents my body. This represents the blood that was shed to redeem you or for the remission of sin. This was what Paul's teaching was. Paul in Galatians, why is it you say that, Elder Scudder? Because in Galatians chapter number 1 and verse number 11, what does he say? I certify, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Everybody see that? In other words, man didn't teach Paul. No man sat down and explained to Paul the doctrines of Jesus Christ or the teachings of Jesus Christ. Keep going. Next verse, I'm sorry.
For I neither received it of man, yep, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation.
That's it. Jesus taught Paul himself. And that's why Paul says he was like one born out of due time, because he knew he had done many things contrary to the name of Jesus. Many things contrary to the Lord's church. He said that. He sought out authority to go down and persecute them Christians or those Christ followers. That's why we don't call ourselves Christians like that. And this is that very reason. It's a derogatory term. We sophisticated that term, but the saints, that was a term to make them feel less than. You old Christians. In other words, you followers of Christ. But when the saints identified themselves, they identified themselves as saints or those that are sanctified, those that have been set apart to be used by Jesus. All right. But here you see, he says he wasn't taught it by man. He didn't receive it by man. Neither was taught it by man. But he received it directly by revelation from who? Jesus Christ. You see that? Now keep going in the next verse. I'm sorry. Yes.
Past,
right.
In the Jews,
that's it. See what religion will have you do? Religion will have you persecuting. Won't see anything wrong with it. Religion doesn't see anything wrong with fighting. Religion doesn't see anything wrong with arguing and debating. Religion doesn't see anything wrong with that. Because you see, this was a common practice of the Jewish religion. It was nothing for them to be in the synagogues debating one another. Debating one another as to whose view was the right view. And even after the Lord instituted the church, people were still gathering in the synagogues debating and arguing. One writer said, Paul, even when he said he came to Mars Hill, I believe it was, he said he saw a group of people that were praying to an unknown God. They were doing this religiously. They had no knowledge of who God is, but they were religiously engaging in practices. They were devoted to it. And you know that even in our own lives. You can't go around and tell loved ones that they don't love Jesus or they don't love church, because you see them, they're wholeheartedly devoted to this stuff. You can't go to somebody in Islam and say they don't believe. or if they're not convicted in their doctrines, look at how it has changed their life. Look at what things that they engaged in. They changed their whole diet. They have routines and practices regardless of where they are. You people may say, oh, they're doing it to be seen. Well, they're being dedicated at it. They're being dedicated at it. The average fella don't stop down in the middle of the street and get on, you know, on the side of the road and bend on and pray. But they do it. That's a concept of religion. That's religion. And if you look on the back of your bulletin, there are many, many religions in the earth. Hinduism, all of you, I didn't go through and I just that came to my mind right there. Buddhism, I think that's what the sister that just died here, Tina Turner, she was a Buddhist. And you ask her about her religion, she'll stop right where she was at and show you how she chants. My wife, she can always almost quote that thing. She watched that movie over and over again. She can quote it all. But that lady, that sister, she would chant that thing. And she would rub them beads. And it brought her a sense of calmness, a sense of peace. Yes, it did. That's right. Yeah, so she thought, yeah, that's what religion will do. Religion will make you feel like you're separated from everybody else. Right. That's a part of religion. Separation. It'll make you feel like you're different from everyone else. But what religion is not, it is not salvation. I don't care how far you separate yourself from everyone else. If you are a Buddhist or if you practice Hinduism, it doesn't matter if you go up into the mountains or far into the woods and keep yourself from what's going on in the mainstream of society. It does not matter if you do these things because you are born in the state or the condition of sin. Sins are the acts that you commit as a result of the nature that is inside of you. So Paul was very clear in understanding that it was very possible for him to have been indoctrinated in the Jewish teachings, right? Look at what he says. He says, you have heard in my conversations in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure, he had great zeal in practicing the Jewish religion. And part of that religion was persecuting the church. Everybody understand that? That was part of the religious teaching as he understood it. He said, I should do many things contrary to the name. Anything I could do to silence that name, it made my religious beliefs stronger. It validated my convictions. That's what I tell you, you don't argue with nobody concerning their beliefs. I don't get in the streets and argue with people concerning their teachings. Jehovah's Witnesses, they'll knock on my door. I talk to them and I explain unto them who Jesus is. Jesus is God. And they want to go back into the basket. Well, no. Pray to the Lord, open up your understanding to help you to see that Jesus is God. That Jehovah is not the name God gave himself. Right? Come on, that's truth. In the Old Testament, they specifically asked God his name. And God gave them this revelation, I am that I am. And based upon that, Moses called him Jehovah, or the self-existent one. And they kept on building on that, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Tiskanu. But that was not the name that God gave himself. God says, I am that I am. But then when he came over in the New Testament, scripture said God highly exalted him and gave him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. Every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord. Know ye not that the Lord, the self-existent one, he is God, right? Jesus is God. He did not become God. He's always been God. He's been God from everlasting to everlasting. Take Jesus to give you that revelation and that understanding. But that don't stop the debate. That doesn't stop the argument. That doesn't stop the confusion. Say, I thought Jesus is the Son of God. Well, and you think about these titles. Don't get so caught up in that. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. These were titles that Jesus used to explain or help us to better understand his work of redemption. Father, he created this world. By him bearing that title, Father, he lets us know he's the supreme being. Anything that we need, anything that we see, it better helps us to understand he is the source of it all. Right? By him, all things consist. Right? Whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. He is before all things. Right? Come on. That's what it means. That's why he bears that name or that title, Father. And he goes on a little bit further in his revelation. He says he's the everlasting Father. Right? Even when your mother and your fathers die physically, you can look to Jesus to be there and as a provider for you. Right? That's right. Earthly fathers fail. Earthly mothers fail. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. They fail because of sin. That's why even when you come into the church, church is not a place where you can go in and try to see if you can downgrade your parents for not meeting your expectations. We go right to the source. We say, Mom and Dad failed at this because of sin. And you are failing at it because of sin. Right? So you have no right to look down on them, just like they have no right to look down on you. All of us are guilty. Right? The whole world is found guilty. Every mouth is silent. Right? And the whole world is found guilty because of sin. That's truth. That's when you're talking about Jesus as Father. But then he says in the Gospels, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and my Father one, right? Have I been so long time with you? And you're saying, show us the Father? Don't you realize the things that I'm doing, huh? I'm doing because of he that is in me. He does the work, huh? Come on, that body was just an instrument. It was just a tool used for God to manifest himself in this earth. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Yes. That's truth.
Yes.
That's truth. Now, that's work of the Father, uh-huh. Right? Uh-huh. But then you have the redemptive work. Uh-huh. That's what you call sonship.
Yes.
He's our Redeemer.
Yes.
Just like the children are partakers of flesh and blood, uh-huh. He likewise took part of the same.
Uh-huh.
That through death, he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. All of our lifetimes, we were subject unto that bondage. Huh? So somebody say, well, Jesus stopped being the Son. You're missing the picture. He took on flesh to redeem us. And anybody with any common sense would tell you, I still need the Redeemer. Huh? I still need Jesus to redeem me. Huh? I need him to costly buy me back from all of that stuff that is not like him. That person that goes down in that water in the name of Jesus Christ, he needs the Redeemer. That water is supposed to represent the blood of Jesus, right? That's truth. And the Lord knows we need the Holy Ghost. Huh? That's the problem in the earth. People are talking about it but don't have it. Huh? They don't have the Holy Ghost down on the inside of them. Holy Ghost is Christ in you. Holy Ghost is not a feeling. Huh? Holy Ghost is not a feeling. It's not like a cold or a ball that you catch. Holy Ghost is Jesus living in you. You've got the creator of heaven and earth living down on the inside of you. Scripture says he's not dead, but he's active. He's walking up and down inside of you. The one that is life. He quickens your mortal body to let you, this dead thing, know that I'm in control, right? That's the truth. You got the Holy Ghost inside of you. It should be reminding the flesh that Jesus is in control. Why? Because you're giving yourself over to Jesus. Huh? Come on. How do you keep that flesh down? Through much fasting. Through much praying. When you get caught up in your feelings, when you get caught up in your attitude, huh? You be one say, well, Scott, why you keep asking me this? Because I see something, huh? I see something that's not like Jesus. I see too much flesh, huh? when you start talking about yourself, I, that's flesh.
Yes.
That means you're not fasting enough.
Yes.
You say, Elder Scott, I fast like everybody else, but it's not effective.
Yes.
Why? Because that flesh should be brought down.
Jesus.
Huh?
Jesus.
Fasting brings the flesh down.
Yes.
That you can realize it's no more I, but it's Jesus that lives in me, right? You can't live this life without Jesus. You can't do the good without
Jesus.
Any man will tell you, I need salvation first. Before I start to help to take care of the fatherless, huh, and the motherless, huh? I need some salvation first. Because if I don't, I'll be boasting. Huh? I'll be wanting you to give me recognition. I'll be looking for you to pat me on my back and say, Stephen, you did a good job. Huh? I'll be looking for my earthly reward. Huh? Come on. And you'd rather realize with the things that we're doing because of him that loved us. We're doing these things because of the one that washed us from our sin. Huh? He justified us. He cleansed us in his own blood, right? That's right. That's right. So there is no boasting. But you look at Paul. Look at Paul. He's about to give you a reason why he could gloat. Huh? Look at what this brother is saying. He says, you heard my conversation in time past. He's trying to let you know I was religious. Huh? See, saints, you've got to have a change. I was religious. But Jesus has brought me salvation. He has delivered me from the guilt, the habit, the penalty of sin. I didn't get sin from nobody but my mom and my daddy. And I'm not talking to one that brought me into the earth. I'm going back to the source. Adam and Eve brought me in the mess that I'm in right now, right? Adam and Eve did this. I inherited their nature. Huh? And in order for me to better understand myself, I need to study them out. I've got a sense of arrogance inside of me. I got a sense of pride inside of me. I got a sense that I can hide from righteousness. That nobody will ever be able to find me out. That's why we try to avoid the word. I mean that pure word of righteousness. We try our best to run away from it. Why? Because it finds us out. Huh? When the word is preaching its pureness, it lets you see you are guilty. You are the cause of all of your issues, right? We want to pass the blame on everybody else, but it is me. I know that dwelleth in me is a no good thing, right? Who can deliver me from this body of death? Huh? That's truth. Who can deliver me from this attraction that I have to evil? All of the choices and decisions that you make. Why did I keep getting attracted like that metal does to that magnet? Why does evil keep on finding me? Huh? Try my best to stay away from it, but some kind of way it finds me and attaches itself to me. Who can deliver? This is why you need salvation. Jesus is the only one that can deliver you from this body of death. It's all about death. This body craves death. It has an appetite for death. Y'all understand that? This body does. This carnal nature you got from Adam is enmity against righteousness. It wants nothing to do with it. Huh? This carnal nature is always fighting against Jesus. This is why I tell you, you got to tarry for the Holy Ghost. You got to stay down there and cry out to Jesus. Because once you get close, you're going to realize it's nothing easy that is happening. This is not an easy transaction. That change is not easy. Huh? No, it's not. It's not easy. It's a fight. That carnal man don't want to let you go. Huh? Anybody got the Holy Ghost? No. You didn't come through easy. It was a fight. Huh? Come on. It was a fight. That flesh did not want you to cry out Jesus. Huh? That flesh did not want you to consistently cry out Jesus. It wanted it to get lost in this and lost in that, lost in this, lost. But you need to cry out, Jesus, till he takes control of a member of your body that you cannot control, right? Else, your fountain will be bringing forth both sweet and bitter. And you'll try to hide behind this thing. Nobody's perfect. Huh? We all make mistakes. But where is your salvation? Where is your deliverance from that nature? Huh? Where has Jesus taken the fight out of you? Huh? Come on. Can you imagine Peter trying to be, say he was saved and not have no salvation? Peter was a fighter. Huh? It took the Holy Ghost to calm that brother down. And even with the Holy Ghost, he was still resisting. He was still fighting against righteousness. This is why you know you really need to be saved. So that you can be honest with who yourself. You need to be honest with yourself. You need to be honest with yourself so that when the word of righteousness comes, you can clearly move yourself out of the way. Huh? So that Jesus can have his way in yourself, in your life. Peter said it himself, if it was up to me, I wouldn't be here. But the Lord showed me. Huh? Show me what? He has no respect of person. Huh? Whoever fears him, right? That repentance and remission of sin will be preached in his name among all nations. When them Gentiles heard that, Scripture said when they heard that word, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what they were looking for. They were looking for grace that went beyond all of these religious divisions, right? They needed to know that this salvation wasn't just limited to the Jews. But anybody wanted Jesus could receive the Holy Ghost. All you had to do was approach it with faith, right? That's like that eunuch. That eunuch said, "His water was hindering me from getting my sin washed away." Philip said, "You just believe." Huh? Say, "I believe. Take me on down in the water." Hey, man, Philip went down in that water. Huh? That brother humbled himself. Went down in that water in the name of Jesus Christ. Huh? Came up out of that water. Walking in the newness of life. Huh? Come on. Is that you and I? Yes. You gone down in that water, you have to come up walking in the newness of life. Huh? You say, well, the old man is still there. That's why you need the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost to give you power over that Adamic nature, right? Whatsoever's born of God, huh? That's the problem. You haven't had the new birth. You got to get born of God to overcome this world, right? Overcome this world. What world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You need the Holy Ghost to overcome that. Stuff is like cancer. It's an incurable disease. Huh? Sin is an incurable disease. Only the blood of Jesus can remove sin from the soul. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how hard you work. Sin is not going nowhere until the blood attacks it, right? You need the blood of Jesus to come against that stuff, right? That's the truth. Come on. At the most sex religion, I don't want to get off track. You heard in my conversations in past time. Yes. See how the flesh wants to accentuate itself? The flesh, it is the fleshly desire to want to be better than everybody else. Come on, I'm going to say it again. It is a fleshly desire that you and I have inside of us to want to be better than everybody else. Brothers and sisters fight about it all the time. I'm the better child. Mom and daddy like me the most. I'm the only one out of all my brothers and sisters that have done something with themselves. I'm trying to tell you, this thing is real. Because we even went to a funeral. Huh? We went to a funeral and that spirit jumped into one of the grandchildren. And one of the grandchildren stood up and said, "Granddaddy liked me the most." In front of all of the grandkids. He liked me the most. I was the only one that did something with their life. I'm the only one finished school. And we kept saying, "You don't even realize when the devil get in charge of your mind. You talk like a fool. You don't even realize you're not the only college graduate. You're not the only one that have done with that light. And I want to let you know Granddaddy ain't thinking about you right now. Because if he hadn't been born again, he is in hell's fire. Huh? He's in constant suffering, right? Consciously being tormented. And you think he's worried about who his favorite grandchild was? But that's how the devil will get inside of you. Trying to make you think you're better than everybody else. You let the devil be making you look at your brothers and sisters' hair. My hair is different from all of my brothers and my sisters. They got that nappy stuff. But I got that clean stuff. Stuff like corn silk. You old demon. You don't even realize sin is in control of you. You don't even realize you're no different than Paul. You're concentrating on something that has nothing to do with where you're going to spend eternity. It's all fleshly. It's all carnal. And to be carnally minded is death. Everybody understand that? I'm trying my best to help you. You got to ask the Lord to deliver you from that. Huh? Mama likes you the best. Huh? It's a spirit. It's a spirit. That religious spirit. Huh? We talk about the good of religion, but there's some evil in it. When you try to do this thing called religion without Jesus, it's evil stuff that come from it. Huh? It's evil stuff that come from it. It's a spirit of pride. A spirit of haughtiness. Arrogance that comes along with it. When you don't do it without Jesus, when you try to do good without Jesus, you'll be looking at other folk as though they are less than you. Look at these two sisters. When Jesus was their guest in their home, one sister was so caught up in serving and giving and doing, the other sister sat at the feet of Jesus and said, Lord, just feed me your word. Look at what the one sister said. Lord, why are you so not dealing with her? She's the one that should be up here helping me. Jesus said she chose the better path. She chose the right path. All those dishes you're going to have once I'm gone. But you're not going to have me once I'm gone. Everybody understand that? All those dishes and food, you're going to have this after Jesus is gone, but you won't have Jesus. See how that devil be messing you, your brain up? You be putting all of this value and trying to get up under mama and daddy and make your brothers and sisters feel like they don't have a relationship with mom and daddy. But one day mama's going to be gone. And whose wing are you going to run up under next? Whose wing are you going to run out on the next? You won't have nobody to run to. That's why it's best for you to let Jesus be your everlasting father. Come on. You run up under Jesus. You know how to treat people right. You realize it's not about you. It's not about the flesh. It's about the power that works inside of you. It's no longer I. But it's a Christ that liveth in me. It is a resurrecting power that lives in me. Come on, you be like Peter and John said, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, I give it to you. In the name of Jesus, that's who's in me. When they wanted to glorify Peter and John, he said, don't look at us as though this power is from us. This is the power that you rejected. You wanted nothing to do with. He's still in the earth working. They wanted nothing to do with Jesus. They thought that they had killed the Prince of Life. But he was still in the earth working. That's the truth. Come on. Time's passed. Yes.
And it says, and the next verse, and profited in the Jews' religion.
Yeah, I profited in the Jews' religion. I made money. I made money. I got stature. Got recognition. I got some rank. I got some stripes to put on my sleeve. Come on. I increased my seat in the temple. I gave volume to my voice. Come on. Is that that it?
Profited in the Jews' religion.
Yes.
Equal in my own
That's why you got to be careful
about this thing called organization. Whenever you got people involved in stuff, you got to be careful with that stuff. Because everybody wants to sit in the chief seat. Everybody wants to feel special. Everybody wants to feel like they are the right-hand man. Huh? The one that the one in leadership depends on. Huh? Come on. It's still flesh. It's still carnality. And to be carnally minded is death. Huh? Come on, saints. To be carnally minded is death. Y'all realize people are out there trying to build edifices better, bigger and better than everyone else so that they can make people think that they are doing something. Huh? Look at my building. Huh? Look at my parking lot. Look at my windows. Look at how many people we have coming in and out of our doors. Look at how many people we baptized this week. Huh? Carnality. Huh? Carnality, right? To be carnally minded. Y'all understand this? To be carnally minded is death. Taking the Lord's word that you got freely and using it for money. Huh? Oh, can I hear your pastor's message? Send me $5. Huh? Send me $10. And I'll give you a DVD. And I'll give you access to the download. Huh? They give you a clip. Say, oh, that message sounds so good. Oh, where's the rest of it at? You got to go to this website and pay this dollar amount to download something that you got for free. Y'all understand this? I could never charge you for the word. Why? Because I got it for free. How am I going to charge you something I got for free? Jesus didn't charge me for it. How am I going to charge you for it, right? Exclusive access. Religion. That's it. Y'all understand this? Come on, I want you to clearly see this thing. You can be religious and not have no salvation. Huh? Come on, everybody understand that? People say they're good. They're such good people. You can be good. Huh? And not have no salvation. Huh? Come on, that's what he says. He said, I persecuted the church of God. I wasted it. Profited in the Jews' religion. Above many of my equals. In my own nation, being more exceedingly what?
Of the traditions of my father.
Huh? Keep going.
But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb,
uh-huh.
called me by his grace.
Uh-huh. Why are you here, saints? Because of the Lord's grace. Come on, did everybody understand that? Grace brought you from wherever you were at. Huh? Unmerited favor. Look beyond you. Huh? Brought you from wherever you at. Huh? Come on. You be looking back saying, why didn't they come? Why are they following behind me? Something Jesus saw in you that's not in them. What did he see in you? I believe he saw a desire to want truth. Huh? Come on. It was a desire inside of you to want truth. To want to know, Lord, I know that there's got to be more than this. Huh? More than this foolishness is out here. More than these pretenders. Huh? Come on. More than these show people. More than these performers. There's got to be something real out there. Thank the Lord he brought you where the real is. Huh? He brought you where real is at. We're not performers. No. This is not a show. Huh? We don't look for ways to market what we're doing. Huh? Come on, I could be out there marketing. I could be doing the same thing everybody else is doing. Put me on Facebook Live. Do this, do that. Increase our YouTube following. We're not marketing this. Huh? We want people to come that want truth. Huh? And I mean to really want to get the truth to grab hold of them. Grab hold of their mind. Huh? So where it'll affect the way that you're living. Huh? When you get away from me, I need the word to affect the way that you are living. Huh? Come on, I need truth to be inside of you so that it can help you to see the errors of your ways, right? That's truth. That's why you really need the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost to communicate with you when nobody else is around you. You need the Holy Ghost to call you out. Oh yeah, the Holy Ghost will call you out. Holy Ghost will tell you, you wrong. You are in error. Huh? That's truth. Holy Ghost will do that. I mean, my wife was just had an issue this morning. She was asking me for something, and I told her, I said, I've told you one time. It is on your desk. You keep coming back to me over and over again. I keep telling you, I told you one time, and that's going to be it. Don't ask me no more. It's Sunday morning. I don't want to deal with that. The Holy Ghost said, no. I don't care who you think you are and what you think you got to do. You do not talk to none of my children that way. Holy Ghost told me that. Holy Ghost, God next to me, and his praise is just going for. I said, oh, Jesus, I got to get this off my chest. Said, baby, it's on my desk at home. I was wrong. I got it, not you. He said, okay, okay. See, nobody's exempt from this thing called flesh. Y'all understand that? You need Jesus to help you to be truthful and honest with yourself, right? Realizing I am up under attack. It's not her. It's not him. Not because of what they're telling me. It is me. It is the no good thing that is in me that is trying to bring my mind under subjection to the laws or the rules or the governing principles of sin and death. Who shall deliver me from this body? Nobody but Jesus, right? Nobody can deliver you from this but Jesus, right?
Jesus,
he said, look at you and say, all y'all do is say Jesus. Amen. Because he's the only one that can deliver us. It feels weird when I just hear God, God, God. If that feels weird to me. Why do I? Because that's not the name that saved me. That's not the name that deserves the glory. God is not the name that deserves the glory. God highly exalted one name. Everybody understand that? Come on, saints. God highly exalted one name. It's a name above every name. That's why I don't have to back up when I talk to people about Jesus. When they're Jehovah's Witness, I can stand flat-footed and say, I believe Jesus is God. Jesus woke me up this morning. Jesus gave me the activities of my limbs. I thank and I praise Jesus for being in my right mind. That's true. I glorify Jesus. I give honor to Jesus. Jesus is my everything. We would have said, well, what we going to learn in Vacation Bible School songs? You notice a common thread. You notice a common thread. The beat may change. The tune may change. But the name remains the same. Y'all understood that? All of your problems, we said, call Jesus. Turn left, turn right. Follow Jesus, right? You want the victory, it's in Jesus, right? Jesus is the common theme, right? You need Jesus, right? You need Jesus. You don't need a new boyfriend. You don't need a new girlfriend. You don't need a new address. You don't need a raise on your job. You don't need a different job. You don't need to relocate. You need Jesus. You don't need a therapist. You don't need a new medication. You don't need an adjustment in your medication. You don't need to increase the number of sessions. You go see this one or go see that. You need Jesus. Everybody understand that? You don't need no vacation. You don't need no vacation. But if I just get over here for a little while, you don't need that. Because when you come back to it, sin went with you on your vacation. And sin is getting on that plane right with you. Sin is going to get the upgrade right with you. They're going to put you in first class. Sin is going to sit right with you in your cushioned seat. Sin is going to sit right with you when you lay your head back. And look back on all of those that are in the lower class. Sin is right there with you. It don't go nowhere. After you get out of your cushioned seat, after you get in your limousine and ride home to your penthouse,
realizing that there is no peace. Everybody understand that? Huh? That's why you got five women laying up in the hotel room with you. Huh? Because there's no peace. Says my God to the wicked. And when your flesh gets sick of the women, you start experimenting with the men. Huh? And try to say, I ain't Jay. Ain't nothing wrong with me. Yes, you are. You're nasty because of sin. Huh? The wicked tendency inside got you going left and right. You don't know where to turn at, right? There's no peace. Everybody understand that? No peace. Saith my God. Everybody understand that? The wicked are like the troubled sea. Waters cast up nothing but my. You're messy. Huh? You're messy when you're wicked. You're nothing but a one that causes confusion. Huh? Y'all understand that? When you try to be at peace, this is why you need to have Jesus. Because you need Jesus to navigate you away from these wicked folk, right? Jesus, keep me away from wickedness. Yeah, keep me away from this foolishness. Stuff may look right, may look good. That's how sin presents itself. Sin presents itself as it looks good. It's good to eat. Good to taste. It's good to touch. But when you consume it, it'll change your life. It'll open up your eyes and you'll see stuff you've never seen before. Stuff you should have never saw. Amen. Stuff you should have never saw. Because if you ain't see it, it won't be embranded. It won't be embedded in your brain. But now you got an image. You got a mental image in your mind. And that stuff ain't going nowhere. You got a tune all in your ears. And that stuff is not going nowhere. Who shall deliver me? Who's going to help this stuff get out of my brain so that I can be free, right? Is that the truth, saints? That's true. That's true. Come on. Come on. I got to keep going. Religion. You can be religious without no salvation. You see it all day long. People come to church religiously. They get down on their knees and pray religiously. They read their Bibles religiously. They fast religiously. They talk about scripture religiously. But they have no salvation. Salvation is personal. That means Jesus had delivered you from you. Everybody, did you hear what I just said? That's why the devil don't want you to get salvation. Because he knows once you get salvation, Jesus delivers you from you. You are no longer numero uno. You realize this life is not about you. The world don't turn because of you. Sun don't rise and set because of you. When you're in your sin, you look for a way to get you in there. You be the loudest. Choir singing, you be the loudest one. Loudest one singing. And it don't even tune in your head. I'm louder than everybody else. Let me bring my voice down a little bit. Everybody get to clapping. You the loudest one clapping. Let me get some composure. Everybody praising the Lord. You the one. Everybody enjoying it. You the one that got to be seen. Say everybody rejoicing and shouting. You the one running all around the church. Flipping all over the place. Because it's about you. You want everybody to see the you performance. Does that make sense? Yeah. You need Jesus to deliver you from you. You done got religious. And after the performance is over, you want somebody to come hit you on the back. You sure know how to praise the Lord. You real spiritual. You really got a connection with Jesus. Yeah, it's my fasting and my praying. I take my relationship with Jesus real serious. You demon. You got the devil inside of you.
Huh? Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Keep me going. Keep me going. Keep me going. Keep me going.
To reveal his son in me.
Yes.
And I might preach him among the
heathen. Yes.
Immediately after.
Convert not with flesh and blood. Now look at the proper order of prioritizing the human life. Look at Titus chapter number 2 and 14. We broke that scripture down into two parts. You notice if you pay close attention, it says, who gave himself for us? Jesus gave himself for us. Look at the order. Look at the order. First things first, that he might do what? Redeem us from what? First thing. That's what he wants to do first. Then what's the next thing?
Purify unto himself a peculiar people.
Now, religion will tell you to put two above number one. Religion says to put two above number one. Religion focuses on you being different and focuses on the good works. But you notice Jesus gave himself first to do what? Redeem us from what? Now, he deals with the core of our problem first. He's not saying that I don't recognize your desire to be different. I don't recognize your desire to do good. But you need some help first. You need Jesus to deliver you from Adam first. Why? What happens when I try to do two before one? You start to act like Cain and Abel. What happened with Cain and Abel? They were two brothers, two siblings. One wanted recognition over their what? Their good works. Right? And what did he do when his good works weren't recognized? Huh? When his creator asked him a question, he said, am I my brother's keeper? Mm-hmm. Right? Isn't that something? How dare you talk to Jesus that way? You don't think Jesus knows who you are and what you have done? But that's what you do when righteousness comes your way and you do things out of order. You forget who you are. You forget who you're dependent upon. Remember, without Jesus, you can't do nothing. In him, we do what? Live. That's right. He's the length of our days, saints. So the proper order is, according to the book of Titus, he gave himself for us that he might do what? Redeem us. Not from some iniquity. Everybody see that? Lord want to get rid of all of the sin inside of you, saints. I know we want to cherry pick and ask the Lord to take care of this part of me and that part of me, but leave this part concealed. Nobody knows about this area of my life. Jesus says the one that knows about it is the one that's important. Huh? You say nobody knows about it, but the one that knows about it is the one that's important. Well, who knows about it? Jesus said, I know everything. Right? Right? The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Right? Above all things. Right? Who can know it? Lord says, I, the Lord, I search the heart, right? I try the reins, right? Jesus knows you better than anybody else. You can fool me, but you cannot fool Jesus. You can get buddy-buddy with me, tell me all the things you think I want to hear, but at the end of the day, I'm not your judge. When you die, you're not going to see me standing before you. I don't write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I got to make sure mine is there. Talking about writing yours there, I got to make sure mine is in there. That's why I'm fighting every day. Fighting who? Not the black man. Not the politics. I'm fighting me. Not fighting my neighbors. I'm not getting into religious debates over what view is right and what view is wrong. I'm fighting me. I realize I am my worst enemy. I try to hold me back from being everything Jesus wants me to be. And I'm my biggest cheerleader. I'm my biggest coach for being everything Jesus is trying to keep me away from. Did y'all catch that?
Yes. Yeah.
So everything Jesus doesn't want me to do, I'm my biggest cheerleader. Do it. Let me show you how to do it. Let me show you how to do it so you can get away with it. Let me show you how to do it so that everybody thinks it's Jesus when it's not Jesus. See how that flesh is wicked like that? It's deceitful. It's a lying spirit inside of you. Oh, yeah. That lying spirit will make you come in here and put on a front, make you think, make just because you want everybody to think everything is okay. That's that lying spirit, the facade, the mask. Huh? But the Lord said, I desire truth. Everybody understand that? Don't shout over wrong. Yeah, that's right. You know you wrong. Get the wrong dealt with. Ask the Lord, take that stuff away from you. You need to go back to your plan of salvation. It was real simple. We went over to Vacation Bible School step by step. First word was what? Repent. Huh? Turn from what? All that wrong. Right? Leave it alone. Do what is right. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. I already did that, Elder Scudder, but I'm still doing something wrong. That means you need to go back up to the top again. That word is to what? Repent. I already repented, but you're still doing wrong, right? So obviously you ain't repenting right. Repentance means you got to bring an end to that stuff. You need to stop it, right? So yeah, I was cussing, but you know they made me mad. Well, you need to repent. You need to repent. But I just let one slip out. You need to repent, huh? You need to repent. Well, how do I know? I already told the Lord I'm sorry. Still cussed.
Thank you.
That stuff shouldn't even be in you. You realize it's a foulness. Cussing is a foulness. You using the Lord's breath to speak evil against the Lord's creation. Huh? See how that devil done got in your mind? You're cussing. You're using Jesus' breath to speak evil against someone that Jesus made. You didn't make that person. I don't care how horrible they treat you. You didn't make them. Lord told you vengeance is mine. Huh? I'm the one that's going to fight the battle, right? So what should I do? I just got to hold your peace. Scripture done told you already. Y'all, I know y'all don't like the Psalms 39 and 1. I keep bringing it before you over and over again. Why do you keep quoting that scripture, Elder Scudder? Because somebody's brain got to get the message. I said I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue, right? I will keep my mouth with a what?
Right.
While who?
The wicked.
That's right. That's right. No excuse, saints. No excuse. You got to ask the Lord to take that stuff away from you.
Amen. Thank you.
You got to ask the Lord to remove all of that stuff that is not like him out of your life.
Yes.
You need true salvation, not religion.
Jesus.
Not religion. Is religion bad? No, religion is good. But in its proper order. But the Lord didn't come to give you religion. Huh? He didn't say neither is there religion in any other. He said, neither is there what?
Salvation.
She shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall religion you from your sin. Nah. He said, he shall do what?
Save.
Yeah. Don't be ashamed. That's right. This is my daughter back there. Don't be ashamed. You need the Lord to save you from sin. Religion is not going to get it. You can't do good works your way into the kingdom. Because all Jesus sees is S-I-N, right? All of your good is overshadowed by S-I-N. And you need Jesus. He's the only one that can remove sin from the soul. All right? Church, y'all got something out the word. We'll get more back into it next week. We'll get a little bit.